Okay, welcome to the lecture number one. So if you've been to, what is it, Introduction to Marketing or Basics of Marketing course, this will be a bit of a rehearsal for you guys. But I'm hoping to start with the very basics. Some people have not been on my Introduction to Marketing lecture. So let's start from the very beginning. So what I'm going to cover now briefly is the definitions for digital marketing. So I'm going to talk about what this digital marketing actually means. Then I'm going to talk about some of the key benefits of why companies and organizations want to do digital marketing, especially compared to non-digital or analog digital analog marketing. Then I'll show you some of the frameworks to think about the differences between strategic and tactical levels of digital marketing. So we can approach this topic from very different perspectives and with very different frameworks. So hopefully this clarifies the sort of field of digital marketing. So let's start with the definition of digital marketing. Some of you have probably been on my course. So what does digital marketing mean? Well, let's slice this down. What does digital mean? We all hear the term all the time. What does it mean? When is something digital? Have you ever thought about it? We just talk about digital, this and that. What does it mean? What comes to your mind? What is an example of a digital element? Yes, please. Yes, something you can access via the internet typically, although it's not a requirement. There can be a lot of devices that do not require internet access, but if you want to transmit digital data, then it usually works via the internet. Anybody else? What is digital? Yes. Something that is only accessible via electronic device? Yes. Sounds good. Sounds good to me. I have no objections. The formal definition for digital, it is basically, it's related to these hardware, software, media spaces, and communication that happens in a digital format. So it uses some digital data. So thinking about like formally define what is digital, it is something that transmits this binary coding system. Many of you are probably not like IT engineers, but you have heard about the ones and zeros. Ones and zeros. So anything that transmits those ones and zeros, everything is coded back to ones and zeros. When you send an email, everything is first translated into ones and zeros and then decoded into text. So that is basically the fundamental element in all of these digital hardware, software, media space, and communication. Okay, but that's not really important. Just wondering if anyone has really thought about what is digital. So that's the sort of formal definition that is usually given. The latter part, how many marketing majors we have? Only 5 marketing majors. Hands up. Now, I want to keep your hand raised and tell me what is marketing. Where are the hands? They disappeared. We have a room full of marketing majors. They're not quite sure what marketing means. I'm not sure what to think about it. Anybody? Yes? Yes, that's one perspective. So it's about promotion of products and services, reaching target customers via communication, I suppose. What else? That's rather narrow. Yes. Maintaining profitable customer relationships. So now we have the promotional communications perspective, and then we have the customer relationship perspective. What else? Yes. influencing the decisions of customers? Yes, ultimately, that's how do we influence them? What is the, like, we try to strive for behavioral change. Yeah, some companies do. Most companies are trying to adapt to customer behavior, but maybe the most innovative companies are trying to shape the behavior, which is notoriously difficult because we have all our habits that we are prone not to change. So we usually like the status quo. There's always change resistant when something new appears, but some companies are able to do that. Those are some of the perspectives, and here are a few others. So nobody mentions sales. That's usually what the, you know, real hardcore marketers are talking about. Marketing's about selling. At the end of the day, all marketing must generate sales revenue, must create demand that people are willing to buy. Sales perspective is very common in marketing. So whatever we do in marketing, it should ultimately result in sales revenue. Communications perspective or promotional perspective was mentioned. So many people think marketing from the perspective of how do we communicate and interact with customers. Then there is the branding perspective, which is a little bit similar to communications, but still much broader. Because what is the core part of a brand? So it's not just communication. You cannot really build a brand via communications. You need something more, at least in most cases. What is the very core of brand associations? Think of a brand. What comes to your mind? Think of any brand. What comes to your mind? Logo, yes, that's part of it. What else comes to your mind? Slogan, yeah, usually the value proposition. What else? Mission and vision statement, maybe, in some cases, yes. But what is the brand? The reputations? But nobody is mentioning the very core. What's the heart? Huh? Product, yes. So it's not just about communicating. It's the product. It's the core product. So when you think of, let's say, some great brand, Louis Vuitton, what comes to your mind? The handbags and stuff like that. So you cannot really build a brand via communicating unless you have a really good product or service or experience, whatever you're selling. So that's a little bit broader. Then customer relationship perspective was already mentioned. So many marketers think that marketing is about acquiring new customers and developing existing customer relationships, retaining them, maintaining profitable customer relationships mentioned. Is anyone familiar with a concept called market orientation? Nobody. So market orientation is maybe the most academic perspective of what marketing means. So it is a concept that was introduced in, I would say, early 90s. And it was an effort to kind of really crystallize what does marketing science mean in practice. And there are three key activities. First is generating market knowledge. So generating understanding of customers, competitors, and the contextual issues. So first of all, generating market intelligence. Second part of market orientation is to disseminate this information across the organization, not within the marketing function, but across the organization. And then responding based on this intelligence as the whole company. So this is a much, much broader idea of what marketing is, not just, you know, communicating or promoting or this or that. It's a much more an holistic idea of what marketing is. And the very important thing to understand here is that now those of you who are those marketing majors, you are not actually studying what many other people think that marketing is, that it's communications. But instead, you are studying marketing science, which starts from this market orientation background pretty much. I'll come back to that point in a bit. The final perspective I have, which is quite related to market orientation, but is very much discussed these days, value creation. So whatever we do in marketing should create value for customers. And how do we create value for customers? We need to address some customer needs. So we create products, services, experiences, and communicate them to the customers so that we meet their needs. And value capture refers to the idea that if we are in a for-profit business, then we are not just doing this value creation as a philanthropy, but we want to capture value back. So we need to create such value for customers that they are willing to pay for. And that's how we make profit. So that's a very core part of any business model. Now, if you talk with people, you hear all kinds of things, what is marketing? And it's really, that's why even marketing majors are a little bit unsure what the concept means. Because in social sciences in general, there is no universally accepted definition for anything. We can find a universally accepted definition for digital because it has this engineering background. But in social sciences, such as marketing, management, or business sciences, we don't really have definitions for anything. All of these concepts are human, a bit like result from human imagination. So nobody can say what marketing actually means. There is no correct answer. No matter who says that marketing is about this or that, it's not true. It's just their own product in their head, what marketing means. Because marketing is nothing. It's air. It's just the result of our imagination. Key point for you guys, especially for marketing majors, you need to define marketing yourselves. You need to figure out during your studies, how do you perceive marketing? So that you have a response when someone asks you, so you are a marketing major, what is marketing? And you need to have a justified response, but nobody can say that this is a correct or wrong answer. Okay, why do we have these different perspectives? Kind of point of view to think about this is that we have different levels to look at marketing. One is at the level of activities. So if we go interview, let's say, 10 random people on the street and ask, what is marketing? What do you think they will say? What do common people who don't have a marketing experience, no marketing education, what would people say? Advertisements, yes. This is one example of activities, maybe some other forms of customer communications. But that's what customers can clearly see and they associate it with marketing. So if you look at marketing from that perspective, then you usually focus on the promotional elements and this. Who has heard this? Someone says that was great marketing. And what do they always mean? Great ad, right? It's never like nobody says that great marketing and means it's a great product. Nobody really thinks that it really meets my need, which is kind of like the academic version of what is marketing. A lot of companies talk about, when they talk about marketing, they might be talking about a function or department or team. So it's a set of people, actually, who has a budget and some key responsibilities that may also vary greatly between different companies. So in some companies, marketing might be responsible for sales, like often in, let's say, e-commerce companies. They might be responsible for communication. That's probably the most typical one. Or sometimes it's like a branding unit. Sometimes it's customer relationship management unit and so on. So that is one perspective for the marketing. So what does it mean for companies? What are the core responsibilities? Finally, you can look at marketing with academic lenses. And with academic lenses, we think about marketing as an organization-wide process. This is really important to understand for everyone, especially those who are majoring in marketing. So now, you're not in a school or university that teaches marketing department and their responsibilities. in marketing science, the education that you receive will look at marketing as an organization-wide process. What's the implication for you guys? If after graduation, close to graduation, you start looking for jobs and you are looking for jobs with marketing titles because you are a marketing major, you narrow your options pretty much to somewhere around here. Because some of the core things that we go through in as marketing science are not considered marketing by the companies. So I just want to keep this with you, this piece of thought, that perhaps whenever you're ready for the job markets, it doesn't mean that you have to apply for marketing jobs. Most stuff that we talk about the very core part of business strategy, how to create value for the customers, how to capture value back. So general business managers, business analysts, business development manager, all kinds of titles can be associated that don't have this marketing title. So remember this, that this education that you will receive do not limit you to marketing jobs. That's a whole different thing because marketing science is this broad and marketing in practice, what companies mean by it, is very narrow. So this is just one thing that I would like you to remember with and keep with you. Now, some of the formal definitions. Marketing, the most common definition for digital marketing is that it is marketing via digital means, which is like no definition at all, but that's something that everyone can agree on. So you hear these definitions. So this first one is kind of funny. This is maybe the most widely adopted marketing definition that exists. It comes from the American Marketing Association, which is a big authority to say what marketing is and what it's not. They define it as the activity set of institutions and processes for creating, communicating, delivering, and exchanging offerings that have value for customers, clients, partners, and society at large. So it is this large definition. What do they mean by it? Going back to the previous slide, well, it's a little bit vague. Yes, it's the activity. You need to do something when you do marketing. Set of institutions. They are probably not referring to universities or these types of institutions. They are probably referring to organizational structures and functions and ways of operating, but that's not very important. Processes that are needed for, but this is the core part, creating, communicating, delivering, and exchanging offerings that have value for customers and other stakeholders. So again, note, it's not about communicating purely. It's about creating. What does it mean when you create offerings? Product development. So it covers these types of things. Designing new products and services and developing them. It includes communication, yes. It includes delivery. So not just, you know, creating the offerings, but also how do you get that product to the market? Where are you going to sell this product? What kind of logistics you need and so on. So it's a very broad. But clearly, coming back to the previous slide, it has this value creation idea. And the only funny part is that the business itself is not mentioned. So offerings that have value for customers and all kinds of different partners, clients, and society, but not the business itself. And this is just probably due to the fact that they want to accommodate nonprofit and for-profit, so they don't want to explicitly mention the business itself. But that's something I would maybe add. This is the definition that we use in the course book. Digital marketing means developing and communicating a value proposition based on strategy analysis and to selected buyer personas via digital media. It aims to acquire new customers and engage existing ones. I'm not fond of any of these presented definitions so much, but what this tried to maybe elaborate a bit is that whatever we do in marketing should be based on strategic analysis, meaning kind of similar to the market orientation. We need to understand what the customer's needs and how they behave. And we adapted that, or maybe in some cases we want to shape those behaviors. What is a value proposition? Does anyone know? Value proposition is the key promise that you give for the customer. So what is the value that you are creating and delivering for them? So is that going to be time savings, convenience? Is that going to be entertainment, benefits? What is it? But it's not enough that you promise such value. You need to be able to create it, which comes back to the product, services, experiences, etc. And you're not trying to offer for all customers something. You are trying to offer it for the specific target group. So everyone is familiar with segmentation, targeting, and so on. So there are very few companies that can attract the whole market. You need to first slice it down and select the specific target group that you're trying to deliver. And buyer persona is just one metaphor to deepen your understanding of the target group. And finally, the end goal is to acquire and engage existing customer relationships. So that's how marketing performance is often measured. Let's get into the benefits. What are some of the benefits would you do perhaps digital marketing if you were a manager in a company rather than non-digital or analog activities? Any benefits? Or is it completely the same thing? Yes. You can start. And how do you make them excited? Or why is it like better to do that in a digital format? Yeah. It's definitely a good tool for creating great content. Interesting looking content, and not just looking, but maybe informational content, all kinds of things. Yes, that could be one. It gives you a lot of options to do stuff. What else? Mainly cost efficient for multiple reasons. I will detail some of the, or do you have something specific in mind? Why is it cost efficient?
Now
that digital advertising has become the dominant advertising sphere, the prices have gone relatively high what they were maybe 10 years ago. But at least, yes, you can save some raw material. Maybe the email marketing is a good example. So email marketing versus direct mail marketing. You need to print the paper and deliver them via postal mail. So clear cost efficiencies there. What else?
Yes.
A larger target audience. So kind of like larger target audience, so especially you don't have the geographic borders, so you can reach, at least theoretically, the whole world. But then again, you can select certain people that you want to target. So targeting is kind of like two things at the same time. So at the same time, it can be broad, but for just selected individuals. Yes? Yes, you get much more data of how consumers respond to your activities. You get much more data how they use your website or mobile application and so on. So that's definitely something. Anything else? I think you've covered most of the stuff that I had here. So the global reach, the idea that if you think about, for example, mass media, it's usually always delimited to certain geographic area, whether that'll be Jyväskylä or Finland or Nordic countries, but there is always this some sort of a delimitation. So when you use digital media, you can at least theoretically reach the whole world. The second thing, advanced targeting, as mentioned, you can select the kind of target customers that you want to be exposed to your marketing activities. For example, behavioral targeting. So again, if I'm using this mass media comparison, so in mass media, basically it is the same message for everyone who are watching the television or I don't know, reading a specific newspaper. But with, for example, behavioral targeting, you can target your marketing activities to people who are interested in, well, let's say if you're a car manufacturer, you can target to people who are interested in cars or who have recently or who are currently or recently been searching for car-related keywords and stuff like that. So it gives you a much relevant target group. The more specific your target audience, the biggest the benefit. So if you advertise, let's say, toothpaste, I guess almost if it's like a standard toothpaste, then mass media, I suppose, works quite handsomely because everyone is a potential buyer, or at least most of the people are potential buyers. But when you get to a very niche category, say, I don't know, industrial vacuum cleaners, then the benefit of mass media is very, very limited. Okay, let's move on. Personalization. So often goes hand in hand with targeting. So when you have these specific, or maybe you have multiple specific groups of people you want to target, but you can also tailor the message for these groups, or sometimes even at the individual level. Maybe the more extreme example could be personalizing the product or service itself. Think of Netflix or Spotify, for example. So when you have a digital service, you can actually personalize not the communications or advertising, but the actual product. So Netflix appears different to every single user because it adapts to your preferences. What else? Modifiability. This was probably not mentioned. It's quite obvious. So you can modify your content in real time. So when you publish in traditional or conventional media, when you publish something, you have published it. But in digital media, you can continuously update your content. Let's say on your website. So if you make a typo or you find out that, okay, this was actually an error, this was misinformation, this was something, you can just fix it. When it's published in a conventional medium, it's too late. Measurability, as mentioned, so you get more data, how customers react to your activities, how do they use your, especially if you're again, this Spotify, if you have any digital services, for example, you can see how people actually use your service. So you get a lot more data. And this affordability. So this might be related to the affordability of the communications, but maybe the bigger case is, for example, these web self-services. Think about banking, for example, how much money they are saving compared to the, let's say, 2 decades ago, when everyone was actually going to the bank and whatever they wanted to do, you needed the customer representative and go through, I don't know, maybe you wanted to have a cash withdrawal or maybe negotiate a loan. These times, how do we manage our finances? We do it on our own. So we have the mobile application or the online bank that we are using. And basically, we don't need any customer representatives anymore. We don't need to talk with anyone. We do everything ourselves. Or if you think about airlines, for example, how much customer service do they actually provide these days? Not much. You need to first, you know, self-check in and self-print your package tags and so on. You need to do everything on your own. Which is often maybe a good thing for the consumers as well, but definitely there's a big cost that would be involved for these companies for offering those services. Finally, let's get into the digital marketing frameworks. So this is kind of related to the discussion we had with the definitions, but I just want you to give like a visual image of what's the difference of looking marketing from the strategic versus tactical perspective. So this is, let's start with Jack Welch's citation. We have only two sources of competitive advantage, the ability to learn more about our customers faster than the competition, and the ability to turn that learning into action faster than the competition. So comes from the former CEO and a very reputable businessman of all times, Jack Welch. I know that he is definitely not a marketer, but you can see from the very top, and this is where I come back to the marketing as the very core part of any business strategy. So you can see how the strategic thinking that we have in the academia is very much, it actually resonates better with the top management than often the work that marketers do. So this is the today's world. Things are moving very fast, and we need to understand the customer needs a little bit better than the competitors, and then react based on this knowledge a little bit better than the competitors so that we meet the customer needs better than the competitors can match. So basically, this framework is telling the same story with a little more detail. So this depicts the basic marketing strategy process. And the key cornerstones here are the environment, company, and its outcomes. So to begin with, we need to do some sort of market research, either formally, we can send surveys, do interview studies, do focus group studies, whatever, or then informally. So we just interact with customers, we interact with frontline employees who, again, interact with customers. We need to figure out what the customer needs are and how they are evolving. What do the customers actually need? What do they want? What are their preferences? What are their problems? What are their goals? What are their motivations? We need to understand deeply who these customers are that we are trying to attract. And how does many of these contextual issues affect their needs? Are there any new needs? Let's say there are new technologies popping in. Are we exposed to new needs? Or there may be some other, like, let's say Netflix was a good example in a sense that few of us had a need to buy a streaming service 2 decades ago. Now it's kind of like a very basic need for many that we need these streaming services. We cannot live without them. Anyway, we need to understand the customers. We need to understand the competitors. We need to understand the business context and how all of this market or environment is evolving. And based on this knowledge, we create products, services, we use these marketing mix decisions so that we meet these customer needs in ways that create value for the customer. And when we manage to create value for the customer, they are willing to pay for it. And hence, we get money back. So we capture value back. So going back to the value creation versus capture. And now, this is the marketing strategy. What is the business strategy? What's the difference? There is no big difference. This is very fundamental key process of any business to become successful. If the company doesn't address customer needs and is not able to create such value for the customers that the customer is not willing to pay for, you don't have a business. So this is the very core fundamental part of business strategy. And finally, now, what's the role of digital technologies? Now, first and foremost, it is definitely not like a separate section in the strategy. It should never be isolated from this full picture of what your marketing strategy is. Instead, the digital technologies enable things. So they might enable you to generate more intelligence about the market so you can collect more data to understand customers better. You can use digital technologies for creating new products or services. So if you have a physical product, maybe you can offer add-on services that are digital, for example. This is what many companies do. Perhaps in some cases you can replace your product with a digital equivalent. You can think of different pricing models, like using dynamic pricing, for example, different prices for different people based on the value that they receive. You can use, obviously, different promotional or communications tactics in the digital medium. You can sell via e-commerce store or, you know, on a platform, things like that. So the core part here is that digital marketing strategy should never be isolated from your marketing strategy. It's just the ways how it enables you to meet customer needs better than the competitors can. Hopefully that makes some sense. And finally, you can use digital technologies for measuring the outcomes as well. So I'm hoping that you get the big picture of what we are trying to do with digital marketing or marketing in general. Now, this is the core part that we will discuss on this particular course. So this is the tactical framework of digital marketing communications. So we are going to talk about on this course, after telling how broad this digital marketing is, we will quite much focus on specific tactics that are used by the marketing professionals. And the most of these tactics relate to communications. And I'm just giving you now the big picture, and we are going back to this framework later on in the course. But for most companies, the sort of home base for digital marketing is either their website or mobile application. That's their most important medium that companies have. Has anyone an idea why? Why do companies think that websites are so important, or may, in some cases, their mobile application? Why is it more important than social media? Or I'm not sure if it's more important, but that's how many companies kind of think about it. It is important because companies can control this media space. There are a lot of different platforms and channels where companies can be present in the digital environment, but the website of the company is the sort of media space that a company can fully control. They decide what happens there. They can create all this amazing content. They can introduce their products. They can do all these things. All the other channels, instead, are not controlled by the company itself. So usually, when we do advertising, or maybe we do search engine marketing, or social media marketing, or content marketing, or whatever we want to do, the core idea is to actually reach customers, the target customers we've selected, and then attract them to the website, or in some cases, the mobile application, because that's where the magic happens. So that's where you can activate customers. That's where you can convert potential customers into customers and so on. So you control that media space. You can know this, you can observe this, that whenever you see an ad and you click on it, what happens? It takes you to the website, right? When you click a search query, You click it, they take you to the website. That's where they can provide you more information. And finally, it's not just about, you know, selling one-time transaction for the customers. You want to engage them. And especially there, the mobile apps tend to be quite dominant these days. So companies want you to download the app so that they can send you notifications. Then it might improve the customer experience and so on. They use email marketing. They use newsletters to remind that they exist. They want you to get back to buying, so to speak. Sometimes it might be related to digital services that they offer, which might be actually the applications, but something where you add more benefits for the users, make them more excited about your product or service, and make you more loyal. And finally, you want to measure and optimize. Everything we do in digital marketing, we try to measure. We try to figure out whether it is performing well or badly, and we try to improve. So that's a lot of the tactical part that we will go through in this course. Finally, this is the course book framework, a little bit messy looking one. The motivation to write this book, so if I didn't mention, so I'm one of the co-authors in this book, but so the central motivation to write this book was that there are a lot of great marketing strategy books that do not really talk about the role of digitalization that much. Then we have a lot of digital marketing books that are, we feel, only talking about or pretty much talking about the tactics, so the different tactics you can use and so on. And we wanted to combine these two in a neat package, so not like 1,000 pages, but in a rather compact size. We wanted to give you the basics of what is digital marketing strategy, which is the left-hand side here, and then what are the tactics, so and what's the relationship between them. So we will go through the course, or as we go through the course, we start, this is the outer ring, this is the market environment, so we're going to talk about technological development, changes in customer behavior, changes in the field of competition. So this is the sort of first part of the book. Then we talk about the cornerstones of formulating a digital marketing strategy. So we talk about setting goals, which is one fundamental issue. So you need to figure out what do you want to achieve. Then we talk about competitive advantages a bit more. We address the topic by first, or what we think is that competitive advantage. What it means is that you find ways to meet customer needs in ways that competitors cannot match. So meeting customer needs in ways that competitors cannot match. And what do you need to do that? You first of all need to understand the customers. So we talk about buyer personas and getting deep insights of your customers. And then again, we talk about differentiation. So how does your offering, communication, whatever, differentiates from your competitors? So that's what you need to create a competitive advantage. And finally, the value proposition. So what is the core promise that you give to the customers and how you deliver on that promise? So that's basically the strategy part. And then the tactical part, we talk about different tactics and how they relate to these different stages. So how do you reach customers via digital tactics? How do you activate customers? How do you convert? How do you engage? And how do you measure the whole thing? That's it. So these were the key learning goals for today. We had this discussion of different definitions. Hopefully you have now some thoughts about how do you personally think about digital marketing. We talked about some of the key benefits, why it's often wise to do digital marketing compared to some of the conventional activities. And then we talk about the difference between the strategic and tactical part of the. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed the course. Let me know if something remains unclear. I'll be here after the lecture if any questions remain. Have a great day and good luck for completing the course.